Well, good morning and God bless. It's a privilege to be here to be able to share God's word with you. And for those of you who aren't here today, I'd just like to remind you that you'll be able to hear today's homily in its entirety, commercial free, at BibleFellowshipTeachings.org. Hope to see you there. Okay, well, in the last three teachings that Wesley did, he was teaching about God's amazing works. And the first one he started off with was creation and all of God's amazing works and the greatness of the things he created, the universe and the natural realm and the way things all work together. And it's just incredible, the things of God and how he was able to make everything at the time of the creation. And then when he put things back together after the fall of the adversary. And then the second week he spoke about Moses and the Exodus and the amazing works that God did with Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then last week he dealt with Joshua and Joshua leading the children of Israel into the Promised Land and the amazing works that God did with him. And we still live in Bible times, like Susan likes to say. These are still biblical times. And we live in the Grace Administration. So I thought this morning we could take a few minutes and look at God's amazing works in our administration. God still has done and is still doing amazing works for us. And if you would like a topic for this teaching, on the website, it'll be named Newness of Life. So I'd like to start this morning. You take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of John. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, in the 10th verse, there is a scripture that literally changed my life. That's because the first time I heard it was in Power for Abundant Living. And it's stuck with me ever since. But in John 10:10, we're all familiar, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So the life that Jesus Christ was speaking about, of course, people were alive at that day and time. They had body and soul and they were walking about. They had life. The life that he came to make available was spirit life. Because of the fall of Adam, the spirit had to be restored so that man once again could be body, soul, and spirit. And of course we know from the class that the word life there is referring to life in all of its manifestations, every category of life. And we were to have it in abundance, more than abundant. And if we look at, I go back a couple of chapters to John chapter 3, there's a record where Jesus Christ is speaking to Nicodemus. And starting in verse 1, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night." Now that's kind of a curious thing that he would come to him by night. But it says that he was a Pharisee, and all the Pharisees were seeking to kill Jesus. So he kind of went stealthily under the cover of darkness to speak to Jesus Christ. "The same came unto Jesus at night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And there's a couple things here I thought were interesting. It says, no man can do the things that you do except God be with him. And we know that Jesus Christ had the Spirit of God descend upon him like a dove at the time of the baptism of John the Baptist. So for the first 30 years of his life, he was body and soul. Because he wouldn't have had to have the Spirit come upon him if he already had it upon him. So he learned the word, he studied the word, he did all that with just his five senses. And then at the time of the baptism of John, the Spirit came upon him. And immediately after he was baptized, the Spirit taketh him up into the wilderness. Right away, the Spirit is working in his life. I thought that was pretty interesting. And then verse 3 says, except a man be born again, and the words born again we know is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Meaning once you are born again, you can see the kingdom of God. Cool. In this administration, the grace administration, a person is born from above and receives Holy Spirit when he confesses Romans 10:9. Then they are able to see the things of the kingdom of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So in order to know the things of God, you have to have the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Say, God is ready to give us things, and he's ready to freely give us these things. And he can only give us these things if you are born of the Spirit. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the man of body and soul, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And we saw back in verse 10 that these are deep things. You know, God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's light. He's love. There's some deep things in there for a powerful God. And we can know these deep things because we have the Spirit of God. And they are spiritually discerned. So, it also says that we have, in the Word of God, that we have the mind of Christ. This separates us from others in the world who are not born again or born from above, who still are natural man, who cannot know or receive things freely. The key word in all this is freely. God gives us freely the things of the kingdom of God. Carnal Christians also are those who are not fully instructed. If they're not walking by the Spirit of God, they have a sense knowledge, you know, a mental assent to things, but they can't really know them and have them operating in their lives. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The working translation is, think the way Christ thought. And we know that the Word of God says that God gave Jesus Christ the Word without measure. So it's available for us, if we're putting on the mind of Christ, to be able to walk this world receiving revelation from God, or receiving the Word of God, or acting upon the Word of God without measure, because we have that mind of Christ, and we're to let it be in us as it was in him. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. This is in all in light of God's amazing works in our administration. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. To walk in newness of life, God exhorts us to do that. Our new life is spirit life. We are set apart from the natural man with the rights, privileges, and abilities that Jesus Christ made available to us. And we're to walk in that newness of life. And in, you don't have to turn there, but John 17:17, Jesus prayed and he asked the Father to sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And to sanctify them, it means to set them apart from the common lot. You know, we're separate from the natural man because we know the word, we have the spirit, and it's that truth that we can apply in our lives that allows us to have that life which is more abundant. When we think the word, we are putting on the mind of Christ, walking in the newness of life. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read this from the Working Translation. I have it here in my notes. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge, and then he has parentheses, acknowledgement, and the acknowledgement there would be to let that knowledge sink within your heart. You know, you acknowledge it, it becomes living and real in your life. You acknowledge it, you just don't have head knowledge of it. So grace and peace be multiplied unto you by the knowledge or acknowledgement of God and of Jesus our Lord, period. His divine power has given us all things. Remember that Zoe was the word that referred to life and all of its manifestations. And here it says that God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge, acknowledgement of him who called us by his own glory and virtue. Now his divine power, the devil has dominion in this day and time, in this world, but the power of God is working on our behalf as his divine power has given to us. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, but his divine power is still available to us in this world, in this day and time. And there's things pertaining to life and godliness. Well, godliness would include things of the Spirit, because God is Spirit. And we have the nine manifestations of the Spirit. You all know what they are. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, singing spirits, prophecy, speaking in tongues, tongues with interpretation, miracles, believing, gifts of healing. And the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruit is resulting from the operation of those manifestations. So we have spiritual love, we have spiritual meekness, we have spiritual long-suffering, etc., etc., peace, joy, all the fruits of the Spirit. You can see that in Galatians 5. And those are just some of the all things that are freely given to us. So at this time, I thought we'd be blessed by looking at a few of those refrigerator magnet scriptures that so often bless our lives. And in 1 Peter, go back a book, 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 24, familiar verse of scripture. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. And of course righteousness is our ability to just go to God at any time, to know that we're accepted of him, that there's no condemnation, no guilt, no shortcomings in our life. That we can just come to Him whenever we want to. That we should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Of course, that's the past tense. We all know that. Jesus Christ took all that suffering and endured all that before He laid down His life on our behalf, that we should be healed, and we are healed. The Word of God says we are at this time. I didn't write the book. That's what it says. That's what it means. If we go to Hebrews chapter 2, that's a couple books, Hebrews chapter 2. Sorry, 4:12. Hebrews 4:12, that's the one I was looking for. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful." Remember, Jesus said to sanctify them through thy word, set them apart by thy word. "And the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." Soul is the body and soul man, the natural man, and the spirit is born from above. "And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So when we go to that Word of God, we can know what the will of God is for our lives and separate that from the natural world and what we are experiencing from the world around us. And Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. For God works within you." And I thought this was kind of a companion verse of sorts to the one we just read in Hebrews, where the word is the critic between the natural and the spiritual. Well, God will work in you to make those decisions, to make those moves, to take those steps. "For God works within you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And the Word of God is the will of God. So there you go. They kind of go hand in hand that way, if you like. Go over to chapter 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Again, you see the word "all" there. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. When God works in you to will and do of His good pleasure, you can do all things. All things. And how does God give us all things? Freely. He freely gives us all things. Verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. No, chapter 9, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 8. "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And He freely gives us that. All things. All sufficiency in all things. Romans chapter 8. In verse 31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" That's a tremendous thought right there in and of itself. If God be for us, what else is there? He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There it is right there in one verse. Freely give us all things. Down to verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors, super conquerors, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can never be separated from God's love. And when somebody loves somebody, they just want the best for them, you know? It's just amazing. And Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 16. In light of all this, God's amazing works in our grace administration, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, we still live in the natural realm, but we have that Spirit of God. We have that life that's more than abundant. So we should come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we can find help and the deliverance that we need in every category of our lives as we're walking with and for God. And in Hebrews 13, I like to read this also from the Working Translation, Hebrews 13, verse 6. Being satisfied with what you have without a various behavior. I had to look that up. And that means without behavior, that is having or showing an extreme greed for wealth or material gain. So being satisfied with what you have. Well, what do we have? Freely given us all things. We have everything we need, so be satisfied. Be satisfied. For hath he not said, or for he hath said, I shall never ever leave thee, and I shall never ever forsake you. So we are confident to say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not be afraid. What will man do to me? And to close, I'd like to go to Psalm 68:19. In our grace administration, God's amazing works are still available to us. It's available to us to walk by the Spirit, to freely know the things of God, and to have all sufficiency in all things. And in Psalm 68, verse 19, we read, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. We have that wholeness. We have been saved. We have the Spirit of God. Consider these words. We have a great, big, wonderful God, and he is doing amazing works in this grace administration as we walk in that newness of life. God bless. I love you. You are the best.
Thank you, Rube.